I'm recording. Okay, so the scripture for today is 1 Samuel 2:35, and I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall go in and out before my anointed forever. And Jeremiah 3:15 says, and I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you. And I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Someone needs to turn their mic off for a minute.
Tara, mute your mic, please.
Okay, so this is the Boss Baby Conference Series that we are continuing today. And just to go, let me see, I don't think there's really anybody new on here today, but we'll just go through what a boss baby is. And a boss baby is someone who acts as if or does things as if the world revolves around them. And someone who is cranky, and then they take those emotions out on others. Someone who radiates an aura of authority or entitlement. You know, people, I mean, there's some people that really just are in authority, that God placed them in authority. But for a rebellious person, they would see that as, you know, something that they don't appreciate, you know. So all authority is not bad, but this is someone who radiates an aura of authority and you know, lords it over you. I'm the boss, I'm this, I'm that, you know, do as I say, you know. One of those things, or somebody that feels that they're entitled. So that's a boss baby. And then the boss baby, if they had children, most of the time raise baby bosses, behaviors are learned. And a baby boss, we consider a girl or boy who thinks he, she plays their cards right. And cupcakes with no feelings. Who can tell me what cupcakes with no feelings mean? I'll wait.
Arrogance,
playing around,
narcissism,
playing around with what, without what, with a disregard for other people's feelings. That's what Donna got it again.
Feelings, yeah.
Yes, Donna answered it right again. So cupcake with no feelings. You know how there's a player, you know, and I always bring up that song, cupcake around with no feeling. I ain't got time because I got so many women. And this is a song with a guy, he's a rapper, and he's going from one house to another. He's giving one girl excuse why he can't be with her, and he's going to another girl's house, you know, and telling her something. And he don't have no feelings for none of them, but he just, you know, he's laying down with them, you know. And so he doesn't really have no feelings, like he's, you know, and he's proud of it. In this instance, it's a he. But as we see a lot of our baby bosses, or girl, or females. Okay, so we got males too, but in this instance, the song I'm talking about, it's a guy, and it's a video, and there's actually a video that goes with it, and it shows how he's leaving one girl, go to the next girl, next girl, next girl, you know, and he don't have no feelings for any of them, and proud that he's a player. And we might even say, yeah, he's a player. We used to glamorize that stuff back in the day. Back in the day, if you was part of the mafia, we was proud of that. That's something you was proud of, you know. And, you know, when you actually had a drug dealer, you know, as a person, as your boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife, you were proud of that back in the day, you know, from where we come from, Black folk. And then all of a sudden we drive around with fine cars and we got this here going on and that. You know, going on, and the first time we glamorized that stuff, you know. So we might have in our younger days felt like that was glorified, you know, that was from God that we had these blessings, and they weren't blessings at all. They're curses. It never ends with drugs. Never ends right. Drug dealer's fate is never going to end right. Never, even if he lived 100 years and got to answer to God, it's just never going to end well. So that's what our Boss Baby sermon is about. And we talked about, so what's this I'm hearing, bleating sheep and mooing cattle? And that's, you know, people that feel like they're hoodwinking you. You know, they're trying to tell you something that's a, you know, it's a big lie, because you might have that discernment that you can actually hear behind the scene what they're saying. So you hear like the mooing of the cattle, you know, the bleating of the sheep, you know. So, you know, so that's just someone that thinks that they're hoodwinking you when you really know they're not, you know. And you confront them with it. He's like, well, what's this I'm hearing? You know, you saying this and that, but you're doing this and that. So here's some examples of our boss babies were Adam and Eve and Jacob. And we went to Jezebel, the most notorious gangster in the Bible, and Jezebel, who falsely accuses, lies, and slanders. That's what when you're Jezebel, is because someone falsely accused you of something, lied on you or slander you. I don't know how many of you have been lied on and accused of stuff you didn't do and slander, but that's been my life. That's been my life. I used to didn't understand it when I was younger, but I understand it now. It follows the gift sometimes, you know. Satan's trying to prevent your mouthpiece for God, you know. He's trying to prevent you from using that. So, and Samson, he was a Nazarite judge, but he didn't act like a judge. You would not consider him, you would consider him more like a player. He had great physical strength and great moral weakness. So he was a man of faith, but not a faithful man. And Delilah, who he fell in love with, seduced and bribed and entrapped him. And he fell, and he gave in his gift. His the same thing as we give up our gift for God, for another person, for another human being that's weaker than God. This is crazy when we do that. So, okay, so I'm going to, that's just to bring you up on what we have been talking about. And so our regular Zoom Sunday worship services start every Sunday at 1 p.m. unless we say otherwise. And from 12:45 to 1 p.m., praise and worship music is with Tracy Kirkland. So if you want to come on 15 minutes before for praise and worship, that starts at 12:45 p.m. And then our service will start at 1 p.m., our sermon. So then, or the beginning of our services, I should just say. And so I think, too, in September that I will be speaking on the book of Revelation. I think we're going through that book. One, I have to get leadership through that book. And two, I'm really anxious to relay to you guys of what you can expect, what you're going through now, those signs that we see in the book of Revelation. What happens to your soul? What happens if the world ends? What am I supposed to do? And all those questions. So I hope to get there. So you don't want to miss that. And I hope that all of you will be able to invite somebody to come in and listen. And I'm hoping to do that in September. So we get to my sister and minister in Christ, Miss Minister Tara Snowden. And Tara Snowden is a newly ordained minister last year through the pandemic. She weathered the storm. And I'm so proud. She has been such a blessing to us here at Nobby Christian Ministries, and the power that she carries, the authority that she carries. And she's a fisher of men. You know, she brings the labor and she brings the she brings the people to you. And she's kind. And so it just gives me great pleasure to welcome her this morning. And I'm going to let her take over the string. Minister Tara Snowden with What's in Your Heart. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Bear with me.
Sure.
Okay. Can you see my screen?
I can.
You can?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so our title for today is What's in Your Heart? So when you think about your heart, Tracy talked about the heart and how it works physically and spiritually. But when we just think ourselves about what's in our heart, just think as we talk, literally, what is in your heart? So as I was thinking about what's in the heart, like I like to do little, I think there are acrostics with the words. So H would be for heeding, E would be for eternity, A would be applying, R would be relational, and T would be truth. So when I put the definitions of the words together, it came out with pay attention to or take notice of the infinite or unending time while bringing or putting into operation or practical use the way two or more people are connected. So in this case, the way we are connected to Jesus and what the quality of being true, genuine, or factual is. And that stuck with me. I'm like, okay, because really that's where our hearts should be going towards. Our hearts should be going towards heavenly things, not earthly things, because our treasures are in heaven, not on earth. Earth is just the practice ground for the greater good. So in Jeremiah 17:9, all my scriptures come from the English Standard Version. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who could understand it? So do we always understand our own hearts because we'll want to do one thing and then we end up doing something else? So if we think about our hearts before we begin our relationship with Christ, most of us were morally wrong in our thoughts with thinking like it's okay to steal, cheat, cheat on a test, cheat on a spouse, lie, talk bad behind people's backs, plot against them. Just the wickedness that is in there. And if we're honest with ourselves and just take an inventory of ourselves, we could find a lot of deceitful things in our hearts. So for these reasons, after we develop a relationship with Christ, we should want to learn to examine ourselves, as it states in, 1 Corinthians. That's if we're being honest with ourselves. But in 1 Corinthians, it says, let a person examine himself, then and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So what does it mean to examine yourself? To examine yourself is just to constantly look at self, look at you. Even when God puts people around us, sometimes he'll put that mirror in front of us, and it's a mirror image of ourselves. And a lot of times we don't like people, don't even know why we don't like people. But a lot of times it's because God is actually showing us to us through another individual. But what we'll try to do is, you know, most of us will talk about that person when we should actually be looking in the mirror, looking at self. Am I like that, Lord? Have I been like that, Lord? I don't want to be like that, Lord. Lord, help me examine me. Help me see through your eyes. So every time we look at someone else, look for self in the action or behavior, such as someone who cusses like a sailor. Are you going to keep talking about what others, what the person is doing when you cuss yourself? Because somebody might just talk, you know, use a lot of foul language all the time, but you might cuss periodically. We have a tendency to talk about that person because they're doing so much, so much, so much, but we're guilty of the same thing. So we always want to revert back to, looking at ourselves. You know, someone may overeat and you may drink like a fish, but we'll take our eyes off of the fact that we overeat and we'll put our eyes on the person that drinks like a fish when there's no difference. There is no difference at all with either one. They're one and the same. So this is why we should examine ourselves before we take communion, because of the mess we carry in our hearts about other people, we should cleanse ourselves first before we take communion. And the scripture states that many of us are weak and ill, and some have died because we're going to take part in the Lord's Supper, but we haven't cleansed ourselves. And we want to definitely be cleansed of all our unrighteousness first. And this is why scripture in 2 Corinthians, it reiterates, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. So test yourself and see what's leading you. Is it the spirit of God leading you, or is it Satan leading you? If we think about the words we use, instead of being kind and caring, we're abrupt, rash, harsh. Let's think about those things. What is leading us? What's leading us? So examine yourself to see what your thought process is. Are your thoughts godly or worldly, righteous or wicked? Think about the words that come out of your mouth and remember that Jesus Christ lives in you. So who are you representing when you speak? Someone got on your nerve or someone's up in your face. Who are you representing when you speak? Remind yourselves that you don't want to fail the test. The test is about kingdom recognition. It has nothing to do with selfish or natural desires. It has nothing to do with us. We say we are Christians, we say we are saved, but then we act like the world. And people look at that and they don't want to give their lives to Christ based on our behaviors. We should try to humble ourselves. You know, it's about meekness. Meekness is strength. Somebody's all up in your face talking about they're going to knock you out. And you're just like, you know. Because it's about God, the representation of Christ within us, coming out of us. So in Galatians, it says, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor.
Yes.
For each will have to bear his own load. And our boasting is what Christ is doing in us and through us. It's not about boasting or bragging like, oh, I got this 2021 car, or I got this beautiful house, or I can do this on my job. I'm all this, I'm all that. It's our boasting in Christ. It's the works that are coming through us from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But we have to remain humble. We have to examine ourselves. Mm-hmm. We have to keep our eye on the prize, which is the kingdom of mm-hmm. heaven, because that's what our goals are. Our goals are to make it into the kingdom, mm-hmm. not getting caught up in other people's stuff, because that's the trick of the enemy. If you get caught up in other people's stuff, you take your eye off of yourself. You can lose yourself in the process of looking at other people. So test your own work. Are you working from the Spirit or out of a selfish and prideful nature, that boss baby nature? It's all about me. Mm. It's all about me. No, it isn't. It isn't about you at all. Mm. It's, again, about the representation of Christ through you. We are to go out and gather sheep for the harvest, but we can't gather sheep for the harvest if we're out there lost with the sheep. Mm-hmm. So we have to keep in mind at all times how we are going to react. Yeah. And always put it first. Am I acting out of a spiritual nature, or am I acting out of a selfish and prideful nature? If you are working from the Spirit's point of view, you will have reason to boast. Learning to work from the Spirit is a constant work on self, not others, because we will have our own loads to bear, because we all have our own loads to bear.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So in Romans 12:3, gifts of grace, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So let's just think about it for a minute. What does sober judgment mean to you? Sober judgment. Sober judgment to me, it is like, I don't want to be drunk with anger or mm-hmm. drunk with rage or drunk on pills or drunk on cocaine or drunk on alcohol, just drunk, because our minds cannot process properly. So if I'm examining myself, and if I'm looking at the kingdom, kingdom values, keeping my eyes on the prize, which is Christ, then it will allow me and you to think more sober. Our judgment is a lot better when we think sober. And it's, again, according to the measure of faith that God has assigned to each one of us, because our journeys are personal. What works for Pastor Jackie may not work for me, and vice versa, but we'll learn from one another. Even like going to counseling, I go to counseling. I don't want people to talk to me the way the world talks to me. I can get that any day, every day, living where I live. But if you're going to lead God and direct me, I need you to give me spiritual counseling, even in talking to friends. Like, I don't want to hear the garbage from the street. What does God say about this? Or what does God say about that? But we can actually get caught up in a whole lot of different things. Oops, sorry about that. So in Psalms 139:23-24, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." So search our hearts, O God. Try us. These are when these tests come. You know, you just got a brand new car and you're driving off the parking lot and you're so happy about this car, and someone comes and hits that car. How do you react to that? Are you angry? Well, we could be angry, but are you angry and get out and just start acting crazy? Or do you think, well, you know what? It's just a car. That's what insurance is for. I have my life. I have my life. I'm not damaged. So, or again, reiterating, somebody jumping up in your face, because there's a lot of that going on nowadays. Somebody shoots your brother. Do you go get the gun and shoot their sister? Mm-hmm. What is living inside of us? What is living inside of us? Because our hearts will say what's actually living inside of us. Mm-hmm. As a man thinketh, so is he. Mm-hmm. We can pretend all day long to be these, I'm such a good person, or I do this and I do that. But let something come your way. The actions that come out of you are speaking what's in your heart. Someone says to you, I didn't like the way you performed on your job today. What do you say? Oh, well, what can you do to help me perform better? Or you just start rah, rah, rah. So if you start rah, 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 that's saying that there's something else inside of you. There's something going on. It's okay to take constructive criticism and learn from that. So we should all be asking God to search us. And if there's anything grievous in us, lead us to the way everlasting. Lead us down your path, Lord. Mm. Show us how you would have us to do that, Father God, because I don't want to do it my way anymore. I want to do it your way. Mm. I want to represent who you are, Father. Mm. It's about the kingdom, Lord. Mm. It's not about what's going on down on this earth.
You better preach that word.
Huh. Wait a minute. So in James 1:23-25, it says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forget what he is like. Mm. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." And that's like Pastor Jackie was saying to us, like, are we actually studying? Are we actually taking notes? Are we ingesting what she is teaching us? Or is it going in one ear and out the other? Like, oh, she's just talking. I ain't got time for all that, because I'm going to do me. I got other things I got to do, you know. We definitely don't want to be like that. We actually, when we hear the word, we want to start applying the word. Like when she talked about Jezebel, how many of us have been a Jezebel? And when we're in Christ, do we still want to be a Jezebel? No, we don't want to go around being a harlot, sleeping with whoever, doing whatever, whenever, however. We want to do something different. Lord, what can I do to please you? Lord, you comfort me. Lord, you love me. Lord, you love on me. Mm. I don't need this natural love. I need this agape love, the love that comes down from heaven, the spirit that you have placed inside of me, Lord. Allow that spirit to manifest itself inside of me so that I am no longer a Jezebel. I'm confessing the fact that I am a Jezebel. I don't want to be that anymore. I don't want to use trickery anymore, Father God, because trickery isn't like you. I want to be a hearer of the word. I don't want to be one who forgets. I want you to feed the word to me through whoever you choose, and then allow me, remind me. I need to apply that to my heart, Father God, my heart, because I'm still looking at myself. I'm still examining myself because I want to be in the faith. I want to be true to you, Father God, because it's about the relationship that I have with you, Father God. And if the relationship with you is in one accord or on one accord, and I'm in your will, Father God, what will happen when other people see that? It will be pleasing to you, Father, to you. So, sorry.
It's a good word.
Yes, it's about teaching us to be doers.
Yes.
And 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to clean us from all unrighteousness. How do we know we sinned? The best way to find out how we have sinned is to study to show ourselves approved, read the word, get with someone spiritual, somebody who is truly following Christ. The Holy Spirit will convict us, but then we literally have to confess it. If we don't confess, how are we going to get rid of it? It's hard to get rid of it when there's no confession of what the sin is. And each one of us can think about our own personal sins, because again, it's our own personal journeys with Christ. So forgive us, Father, for we know not what we have done. Or forgive me, Father, for what I have done. Yes. Lord, forgive me for the thought that is in my head about taking out a knife and cutting her throat, because it's still a sin, because it's in my head. It's the thought in my head. So forgive me. Forgive us.
Yes, Lord.
Let's keep in mind that we need to examine ourselves at all times. Make sure our motives are pure. Keep the focus on us and only compare ourselves to Jesus. Look towards kingdom values, walk by the Spirit, and not be led by emotions or pride, which is part of our sinful nature. Hear the word, apply it to our hearts, become immediate doers so that we won't forget, and confess our sins, as stated in John 1:9. So if there is anyone here who does not know the Lord and would like to get to know the Lord, can you repeat after me? Father, forgive me for all that I have done to you knowingly and unknowingly. Lord, I want to be a part of you. I would like for you to be my personal savior. I just confess my sins to you, Lord. Father, just forgive me and take me on as your child. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. What a wonderful word.
Amen.
Okay, so I'm going to start screening. That wasn't that a wonderful look. Unmike yourself and give that a hand praise, because that was a beautiful word. Oh, that word is so sharp.
Thank you, Tara.
It's so sharp.
You're welcome.
The word is so sharp. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it just cut through my heart. I was thinking about how we can, when Tara said, you know, she asked what's in your heart, and the Bible says your heart is desperately wicked above all things. It's deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. And he's talking about that heart, that human heart, that, you know, but in order for us to be saved, we have to, by faith, allow God to come in and change our heart and give us a heart of his heart. And that's how we serve him, just through faith. And she just did an altar call. And that's what that means, that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, until God comes in and gives you a new heart. And he tells you he will give you a new heart, a tender heart of flesh. And so I was just thinking what Tara was saying, how, you know, you could cut somebody's throat. The thought comes to your mind, you want to cut somebody's throat. And I was thinking how we could smile at one another, because, you know, people used to get fooled by my smile in high school, calling me smiley and everything. But if you mess with me, I could definitely defend myself, right? And they see that other side and they would be shocked. And I was just thinking what Tara was saying. I'm like, oh, we could sit up here and be smiling and praising the Lord and think about cutting somebody's throat with that type of heart. See, you know, I mean, I hope I don't do that now, but I want to see it. And sometimes thoughts still come in, but we have to rebuke those thoughts, because we still have flesh. We still are in that sinful, you know, we still have a sinful condition, which is our nature, until God changes us and gives us a new heart, you know, give us a clean heart so that we could serve him. We can only serve him with a clean heart. And that's when we can rebuke those thoughts. But if God, we didn't allow God to search our hearts and show us ourselves, we wouldn't even know there is a need for salvation, for a new heart, for him to give us a heart that we can love and serve him with. Love outwardly. The love he gives us, we give it out to you. That can only come by with a servant's heart. And Tara, I heard that all through your sermon. I just hear a person that really, truly wants first of all, really, truly love the Lord and really, truly want that love, you know, to overshadow anything in your life. You talk about love a lot, you know, and today you just really brought it to a head for me, and I could really feel your spirit. You know, because you know, love is the answer to all things. It really is. It is. It was God's love for us that engrafted us in, and, you know, to give his son to die on the cross for us so that we may have a right to the tree of life. So I'm going to open up this session. Did you all give her a hand praise? Because I want to hear it on the recording.
All right.
Hallelujah.
I want you all to ask Tara some questions about this sermon. I want to know what you got out of it, because I want to make sure you are applying this word, and I want you to ask her some questions. So we'll take a couple questions, then we'll lift the offering, and then we'll come back to Tara with some more questions. Who's going to ask the first question? Okay. So if you guys don't have no questions, then let's go to lift an offering, Tracy.
Okay, give me a minute.
Okay. And you can cash up our offering to $NCM1919. That's $NCM1919. We only lift one offering. if you have it, and or you can go to our website at www.naviministries.org/donate now. But we'll wait a few minutes for our offering to be lifted and we'll come back.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I forgot to play your song for your intro, but I chatted with Tracy and told her to play it for you. So I love that song, Smooth Off the Rough Edges. You know, we're honest with ourselves. We know we got rough edges. Even though we're saved by grace through faith, we still have rough edges because we're still striving for perfection that we'll never reach, but we are to strive for it. Perfection, as the world see it, we will never reach. You know, and that's because God, if we reach perfection, there's no need of us to have a God, you know, because we would be perfect like him, you know. So, but the Bible tells us to strive for that. We're always striving to do better, be a better person, and to help someone else. So those smooth edges, we all want God to smooth them out, right? Those rugged edges, you know, to smooth them out. So I'm going to ask you guys what you got from the sermon because we got some time left. I want to thank those that are new that are on here today. Thank you for joining us. And we hope that you will join us again on Sundays at 1 o'clock p.m. We also thank you for your offering. We appreciate that. So I want to start with Leah. I want to see what Leah got from Tara's sermon today. I'm Mike, Leah.
Can you come back to me, please?
Okay, I sure can. All right, let me see.
I'll go ahead and start. Okay. I just want to tell you, thank you so much. I appreciate you getting back to keeping the main thing, which mm-hmm. is Christ Jesus and God, our Lord and Savior. I truly appreciate Romans 12 and 3. So that grace given to us, and that's what stuck with me the most. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to figure out the best way to say it is, though we're all Christian, sometimes some of us feel, even as Christians, that we are better than other Christians. And we are no different no matter what. Just like sin is, no matter what sin you do, is no bigger or smaller than anyone else's. Your faith in God, how he sees you, is no different either. So we have some holier than thou people, and that actually will get you in trouble. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you saying, look into yourself and look into your heart and what is in your heart and what are you putting out to others and what example are you holding? And so I truly appreciate your word today.
Unmic yourself, Tara.
Thank you, Tracy.
Tara, you look very nice today, too.
Don't she?
Thank you.
Yeah, she looks beautiful. James, I didn't know you was on here. What you got to say? Did you hear the sermon?
Yes, I did.
Okay. That's her husband speaking, you guys.
Now, I told Tara that I was expecting something today. Mm-hmm. And I'm running around this morning acting crazy. And I made it back on time. Mm-hmm. And you started with about taking notes and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I took these notes December the 8th. You know, I'm big on getting confirmation from God.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to just read the notes that I've taken when you were preaching.
Okay.
It's out like this. Sometimes I just got to shut up because pride is in my heart. Mm-hmm. Matthew 12 and 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Mm-hmm. And Tara preached on that.
Mm-hmm.
God's purpose for my life is to help people by being an example to others. Mm-hmm. God's will for my life, how to be sure of God's will. Mm-hmm. Can I honestly ask God to help me to make the right decisions in my life? When you do God's will, you will have a sense of peace. God will show me what to do every time. The only thing that counts in having faith in God's love for other people, I cannot leave myself by myself. Sometimes I need help. Sometimes I have to watch who and what is leading me. And ain't that what Tara was preaching about? Mm-hmm. What's in your heart? That's confirmation.
Absolutely.
Oh, boy, I'm ready to run down the aisle, jump up and down.
But you ready to apply that word? Huh?
Yeah, I'm still.
You ready to make the application? Because you know we start running and everything. That means you said you got it. That was confirmation to you. So you know, I'm waiting for you to take that rightful place anyway. Because you know what he was just speaking. It sounded like a new James. He actually sounded like a preacher just now to me. He really did. It was just so clear what you said. So I'm hoping that you're ready to really make that application. And there you go. Is that James?
Mm-hmm.
With glasses on? He sounds just like a priest, like a new James. Yes, Lord. Bless him, Father God. Let him take his rightful place. Give him a new heart, Father God, so that he can serve you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The man of God. The man of God. What's God saying to you, James?
Oh, I need to just be still.
Mm-hmm.
And this is notes from last year. Oh, well, I'm going to continue to study.
Okay.
And continue to take notes because he's doing something. Mm-hmm. I've been set up.
Mm-hmm. God, I'll set you up in a minute.
Oh. Thank you, Jesus. That's all I can do. Yeah. Just thank him.
Yes,
I'm getting here. I really am. He's taking away some things in my life. And I'm just going along with it.
Yeah. That's cleansing. Me,
if I want to fight her with the word.
Glory be to God.
I've been getting into the word. I even asked myself, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
And I know it ain't nobody but him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it ain't nobody but him. You know, I thank God for all of you guys. And I thank God for Tara. Because Proverbs 18 and 22 states, if a man findeth a wife, he findeth what is good. And he also finds favor.
Yes.
You know what favor is?
Yes. Yes. His mic went off. There it goes.
I don't know what I be doing, but I know I'm doing the right things.
God gave you a beautiful wife, a precious wife. She's a jewel. You are to take care of her and step up and be that leader that you are, you know? And I think that's what he's doing with you now, because you know that's who you really are in God, you know? And I think he's cleansing you right now. Those are cleansing tears. You know, and each week you're just getting stronger and stronger in your faith. I think that you're battling with what God wants you to do in your own will, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think that you're beautiful. You know, we just love you here. We all love you. Tracy was just talking about that food again. And you cooked that breakfast as you cook. She's like, James, can open up that kitchen over there and be cooking some breakfast over there. Mm-hmm. And I'll be Christian ministry. Tracy still want her breakfast from you. So you're just but you're more than that, you know. And so you have a lot of skill in different areas, but you are a man of God. And you guys that are anointed by God to be a certain place, you can run all you want. You can run all you want. And it's just going to be hard until you stop running. You're going to come back to start all over again. You're going to be like, dang, I did that for 15 years when I could have just, you know, did it from the beginning, because you're going to have to do until you pass that test. You're going to have to do it over and over and over again. Things are going to get so hard. Your household will probably be out of whack and everything because Satan is trying to keep you from getting to where you need to go, your destination. You know, and so you want to always have peace in your household and everything and be able to rebuke Satan. And you do that through obedience to God, the word, searching your heart. Like you said, your wife was saying, test your heart, you know, test your heart. Just test us, examine yourselves, period, to see whether you're in the faith or not. We say we're in the faith. You know, this is Tara's word. We say we're in the faith. We say we're saved. But what are our actions saying? You know, or can I tell? If you telling me you say, and I'm talking to all of us, because you know, Tara was talking about how we our thoughts, you know, we have these thoughts that we could kill somebody, right?
Yeah.
And if we relate that and other people see that, can they really tell we said, do they really want to serve the God that we say we serve? I don't want to serve your God. If your God act like that, if your God is terrifying me and acting crazy, and I don't want to serve that type of God, you know? And so that's what Satan does to us all, you know? But the world is judging us. They're looking up to us. They're testing us. They're, you know, they're looking at our behavior, what comes out of a mouth. Whatever a man thinketh, so is he. So we have constantly have those thoughts or those actions. That's who we are. You know, that's who we are. And that's when we need to say, God, this is not working for me. I need some serious change and I need to be real with myself and quit playing, you know, because God ain't playing no more with none of us. I'm sorry, James, I left you for a minute and we'll start talking to the congregation there. But if you had some more to say on your part, please feel free.
Yeah, I have one more thing to say. And you ain't going to believe this tonight. You mentioned about me stepping up and being a leader. And these is notes I took from your sermon last year in December. And it states, it says, be the leader because a leader is looking for those to lead. My biggest challenge is when I look up in the mirror every morning, who will I lead to Christ? I just got confirmation on Tara service, and these is notes I wrote down last year. And you opened it up with about, what are you guys doing with the notes? Are you in the notes? Right here from last year.
So praise the Lord.
That ain't nobody but God.
Wow.
You know, and it says when the Holy Spirit comes amongst you, you feel it. I mean, I was squirming and moving around because, you know, I'm no longer scared anymore. And I'm tired of running. It's time for me to step up and take my rightful place.
Yeah.
But I want to be sure of myself.
Listen, you'll never be sure of yourself. You cannot do it.
I don't want to mislead people because people are watching me.
Well, you're not going to be perfect. I'm going to tell you, when you do take your rightful place, we still struggle with the flesh. We still in the flesh.
Yeah.
Okay. You'll have the power to overcome that. You remember God told Cain, sin is crouching at your door, but you should rule over it. He had the power to rule over it. God gave him the power to rule over that sin in his life. But Cain chose not to rule over it, to use his power and his faith in God to rule over it. So he was so jealous of his brother, and he killed his brother rather than to use God's power and authority that he gave him to rule over the sin in his life. So you're not going to be perfect because God wants you to always be able to call on him. He said he's perfect in your weakness. He is perfect, not you. He's perfect. His strength is made perfect in weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you got. He says, "Come just as you are, y'all. All y'all out there waiting. I'm gonna stop smoking first. I'm gonna stop drinking first. I'm gonna stop doing drugs first. I'm gonna stop womanizing first. I'm gonna stop manizing first. I'm gonna stop prostitution first. Then I'll come to Christ. You can't." Mm-mm. He does all that. You come as you are. When he called you, he said, the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. You come just like you are, all beat up, broken down, and everything. And I'll clean you up, he said. I will do the work. You just have a willing heart.
Yeah.
So when you hear that calling, don't run like I did for 10 years. I ran. I didn't even know it was him, though. I thought it was actually the devil talking to me, because I didn't believe in women preaching and doing stuff like that. So you have to call me to teach my people. My people consisted of men and women and everybody. I was okay teaching women and young ladies, because that's what I've done for years, right? Mm-hmm. But he's like, mm-mm. I said, well, I'm already teaching. And he's like, no, teach my people. Mm-mm. I'm like, I ran for 10 years. Like, no, that can't be God. Mm-hmm. I ran for 10. I did, James, I did everything that I said I wouldn't do. Mm-hmm. Everything. Everything. I was a monster.
You was a monster.
Man, in my young life, I wasn't a monster. It was when I got older and running from God for them 10 years. I did everything in 10 years that y'all would have probably did in 50. Mm. Now, to me, because, you know, some people's testimony is a little stronger than mine. But to me, right. You know, because we're all different, right? Our bottom lines are different and everything, man. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you. So I'm just saying to you guys, step up and come as you are. And it don't mean that you can't have fun. It is good, clean fun.
Right.
It is good, clean fun. And you all got these jewels in your household that you're risking. Do not lose your precious jewels that God has put there to be a helpmate for you. You know, because everybody has a bottom line, and God does. You know, he says, do not harden your heart when you hear my voice, and he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. You know, so that's what I have to say. I don't know if Leah's ready to say anything before we go here. Let's see how much time we got left here. Well, we got plenty of time. Leah?
What I got out of it was to make your decision with a sober mind, sober heart. Like, don't act on your feelings. And that my I don't know, like like, make decisions with a sober mind and a sober heart.
Okay.
And also that the kill list in my head, I gotta work on it.
Oh, the hit list in your head, your kill list. You said, I forgot you had a hit list in your head. You still working on that, Leah?
I'm trying, but people get added every day. Like, I just, you know, the more I try to deduct, I add. I'm trying to get rid of it, but I can't. It just keeps growing.
And I just want all you all to know that that's the pastor's youngest daughter speaking. So that's what I'm just telling you. We got to be real. You know, we got these issues that we working on. She said that she's trying to work on it. And the more she work on it, the more she's trying to deduct, and more people are added to her hit list in her mind. And Leah.
But I do it with a sober mind when I add people.
Well, I'm going to let Tara answer that. Let Tara talk to you for a minute about that.
It's okay, Leah. Just learn to love the people you put on your hit list. Learn to love them through Christ. Ask God to show you them through his eyes. Stop looking at them through your eyes. And if God gives you discernment about the people and allows you to see through his eyes and not Leah's eyes, Leah's hit list will become smaller and smaller and smaller in Jesus' name.
And that's probably coming from somebody who had a hit list herself at one time. So it's always better, as a pastor, it's always better to let somebody else answer your kids. I would not have given that song message to Leah. I would have said something else maybe that she wasn't able to relate to. So thank you, Tara. Leah, did you think that was that acceptable to you, that advice? Was it helpful? So what are you going to do with that advice she just gave you? Tell me what she just said to you so I know you are going to apply it.
When you ask people, ask God to show you the real them through his eyes.
Mm-hmm. And what he really created them to be.
And that mask.
And also, you know, because we're looking at people's masks a lot of time. A lot of times people add it to your history, that their defense mechanism is all in a way. They might be boss babies really hurting inside. You know, really, really hurting inside. And they, you know, survive by having these defense mechanisms they put up. They don't want to be that way, but they feel it's necessary to be that way to keep you off of them. Bridget, did you hear any of this?
Yes, I did. I'm listening.
What did you get?
I feel the same way, especially with the situation I'm dealing with right now. Like with my sister, woman, I want to deal with the situation or give to God, and that's that I do want revenge, and I know I don't want to go that wrong. Mm-hmm. Wait, what else is playing? What's this? I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. So okay, so your sister, are you still talking? I couldn't hear.
Yes, I'm listening.
Okay. Did you say something else?
No, I was getting ready to.
Okay. Okay, so your sister, you've been carrying that for a while.
Yes.
Last time you were on here, you talked about your sister.
Yeah, she recently changed her number and blocked me on Facebook, though I made a new Facebook because things are going better in court. I'm actually doing what I have to do now and staying clean. And I guess she didn't expect that. You know, I didn't really expect it.
Slow down a little bit. Talk a little slower so everybody can hear you. Understand you.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Say it again, but just say it slow. Just say it slower.
Okay, yes. I haven't seen or talked to my daughter now. It's been almost, I'd say, at least 3 weeks since things are going better in court, and she was looking forward to adopting her and moving with her. But she did that fraud. I haven't fully went to the police station and pressed charges for her. So she now changed her phone number and blocked me on Facebook, so I have no way of contacting her. So sometimes, you know, I can't sleep at night. That bothers me. I can't talk to my daughter, and I can't see her, and I didn't expect that from my sister, you know. But it just makes me go back, and now I can see how when I went to her for help with my daughter in the first place, how she wouldn't help me without the system's help. I should have known she was, you know, thinking she was going to be able to steal her and adopt her, like how I basically was stolen, I guess. So that makes me want to, you know, go out and, like, even when it's all over and I, you know, God's will bless to have my daughter back. I don't know how I'm going to deal with my sister. I've been, you know, really planning to put my hands on her, and I hope I don't be that person because I have been doing good, and it's not worth it. Besides that, like you were saying before, someone you guys were saying about waiting until, you know, waiting to get off the streets and stuff like that to come to Christ. I do have a lot going on, but I know I've been missing service, and it's very important to me. And this is, you have good service, and this does help. And I know I have those excuses at times where I'm like, you know, doubting myself whether I'm doing good or not on not joining service. And that shouldn't work like that. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't work like that. God shouldn't have to wait for you to be ready for him. Because see, you don't have to wait. You don't.
You know, I think the advice that Tara gave, and I think somebody else could speak to this that may have said, if you, any of you all have went through this situation that Bridget finds herself in. Bridget, you said you've been clean how long?
I've only been clean for 4 months. You know, I overdosed 4 months ago. But the thing with my sister really is very serious, because I really do want to hurt my sister. I sometimes think about wanting to kidnap my daughter and just killing her. I can't do that. Like, what's? I don't want to be that. I don't want to be like that.
Do you think that your sister may think that she's protecting your daughter?
No, me and Brittany have had problems our whole life, really. Like, she wasn't really a good sister, and I feel like, you know, she can't have kids for reasons that I'm not going to say on here, but, you know, that's between her and God, and she has to deal with that. I just feel like she'd rather I died out there than have my daughter. Like, she's trying to live off my daughter. That's really what Brittany's doing. She's trying to live off the life check, that little bit of money that she gives, so she can move out of the projects where I was down bad at getting high at. Like, I don't use my kids. I'm not on welfare. I live in this house with no Section 8. I was a drug addict, still surviving. She's going to have to find a different way. Like, that's really what I realized what it all came down to is she just wants, you know, I don't want to keep bringing up Debbie and Grandma because they did, you know, they raised me, but all those secrets in that hidden closet of, no, she's trying to live off, you know,
but behaviors learn, Bridget. And if that's who raised her, your sister, those behaviors, everything she learned, and if she's copying that, that's what's going on. That's but I also know your sister has done some good for your daughter. So do you?
Yeah, she's a good aunt. She has, but she really has. You don't turn nobody's kid against them, though, and she doesn't have kids, right. And neither does the caseworker and a lot of people on my case. She has specifically said things in front of my daughter, like she talked bad about me, and then not letting me be in my daughter's life so the situation is what it is. Nobody can make me look any worse than what I have. And I have to, you know, answer to God about that. I don't understand why she is going against me as far as court. Like, she'll message me. I messaged her on my new Facebook 2 days ago, and she unsends messages. If we take pictures, she'll unsend them. She'll delete them because she's telling CYF, you know, that I haven't been there. You know, luckily I am doing what I have to do now, because now I see that she has told them I have been a ghost this whole time. Like, I was basically, she has these people thinking I've been a drug addict my whole life, basically. Mm-mm. Yeah, my sister has turned on me all about whatever benefit she's getting. Like, Brittany is totally different. I do not know who she is. I do not want my child with her. I can't.
Is there anybody that could speak to this? Other than that, I'm going to ask Tara to respond to this. I'm too close to the situation. So is there anybody else that could speak on this? Or should we just let Tara? So nobody else on mic. Alice, you're on mic. Did you want to speak to that? Okay, no. Alice?
Yeah, Pastor Jackie. Yeah, this is what I want to tell you, Brittany. I want you to do me a favor.
That's Bridget. As a matter of fact, you were talking about Brittany last week, I think. Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's Bridget.
I apologize, Bridget. I just want you to do me a favor and go in the bathroom and identify with who you see. When you can identify with who you see, then peace will pass of so much understanding that you will be able to gain the energy that you need to use to get your daughter back without striking out at your sister. Right. Focus on you right now so that they can see the new you, not the old you, but the new you. The new you will get your daughter back if you stand. Be still. Let God guide you. Take them people out of the attic and let them go. Focus on you right now so you can gain the strength to get your daughter back. Although your sister is trying to say you're not A, B, and C, that's not who you are today. That's who you were yesterday. That's not who you are today.
Thank you. You are right. Thank
you. You're welcome.
I'm so full. Bridget, you know I love you. And this is your godmom. I love you. And I'm so full.
I love you too. I know. I had to learn, though.
I just want you to be
a
okay.
Lot, so I can't, you know, I just can't believe, like, I lost, you know, people. But I lost myself. So I know it wasn't easy for her either. I just want it all to be over so I can have an actual talk. I know it's just CYF for her ear too. And, you know, we did do a lot. Of me, her, she when she would let me see her when I wasn't supposed to see her, she can't get in trouble for that.
Yeah.
But even like the fraud, that's my sister. I'm not like her. I don't want to be like that. I'm not even gonna press charges on her. She stole all that money, and I know I could use that. Like stuff like that is
no,
like
you don't want to do that.
I just don't know why she don't. You know, like she said, oh, I just have to focus on being a better person myself because you know I made this situation.
And that's the thing. If you get stronger and consistent with it, right? And
that's my problem.
Stay
right.
consistent with it.
You're right.
Get your daughter. You know,
right.
And I think, Tara, did you have anything to say?
So, Bridget, there's generally 18 months when your child is removed from you. But in those 18 months, it's you, the person who the child was removed from, that has to improve yourself. I've actually been in your situation, mm-hmm. so I understand exactly what you're saying. Again, we can't focus on what's going on. We only can focus on ourselves. So if the court, if they give you a service plan and they say, Bridget, I want you to do A, B, and C, then Bridget has to do A, right. B, and C, even if you don't agree. And while you're doing A, B, and C, you might be angry, but put a smile on your face. Put a smile on your face. Do not let them see that it is making you angry or you're becoming angry behind that. Because it's you. And even if you don't trust the people in your life, that's okay. Learn to trust God for the people. One of my prayers used to be, Lord, the outcome that is going to come out is the outcome you have put in place. That gave me assurance that I could get out the picture. I still need to be myself. I still need to do what they say do. Oh, you want to clean urine? You got to clean urine. And I was one of those people who I was still dibbing and dabbing. And I just asked this therapist, I said, look, the court wants clean urines. I'll tell you when I got high. So when I got high, I can't give you a clean urine. Can you work with me on that? And for some reason.
It's beautiful. Unmike yourself, Tara.
So when my urine was clean, I gave clean urines. When my urine was dirty, I let her know, look, I use. The other thing I want to say is in the steps of NA and AA, step four says, take a fearless and searching moral inventory of self. So you got to focus on you. And Alice said it perfect. Mm-hmm. That's who you were. That is not who you are. And you have given your life to Christ. So you are going to become so much more. Learn to believe in you through Christ and trust Christ, my baby, trust Christ for your outcome. That's it.
You're right.
Look how big Eden got, Bridget. Did you hear everything she said?
To be angry and do all that. It is hard to work on yourself and really deal with emotion. And that's so you're right.
You're right, but what are you going to do with that? Do you still have a hit list in your mind, like Leah? You're very honest. You're very, very honest all the time. So you still do.
I do, especially like the boy that I let the kids go on drugs. Like, you go out here and that's the main thing. Yeah.
I didn't hear you.
Like, I don't feel like I'm, moving on with the situation. No, I'm playing because I know.
Your phone's breaking up, Bridget. We can't hear you. Say it again.
Like the boy that I let get me on drugs. Him being alive. Yeah, sometimes I do want to still get revenge and, rather see him dead so I can feel like I got a full loop on. Like, I know I'm getting my life back, but him being alive, that bothers me a lot.
Well, you know what? I feel like giving you and Leah a homework assignment. Both of y'all need to get together and figure out what y'all going to do with that hit list because sin is crossing at both y'all's door. Now, y'all can choose to rule over it and take some of this advice, but you are that, Bridget, you're that angry. That's how Cain was. Cain actually killed his brother because of that anger. And he's talking to God like you're talking to us. And God was trying to tell him, like, if you do well, if you focus on you and do what I asked you to do, won't I be proud of you? Won't you get good results? He'd rather not. Yeah, but no, I don't want to do that.
You're right. So I'm going to reevaluate. You're right. Because I know I'm the problem in a lot of situations. If you can't in the same right. Put my hands on people. Yeah, I'm always doing that. That's not going to help. And that's why I recently, on the 4th of July, I just got cut, punched a girl in the face, didn't even know her. Yeah, I don't need to be even keep on fighting. That's not even dealing with the situation. It's really not. Like, that's an excuse too. You're right.
But, it's so that rage. It's that if we focus on ourselves, take responsibility from the beginning, not from what's happening, these years later, but from the beginning, right?
Yes.
And then we always got to focus on what's best for the child. And what I heard you say is she's a good aunt. She's good to your daughter.
Yeah.
Is that what I heard you say?
Yes.
Yes. So your child is safe.
Yes.
And while your child is safe, what I hear Tara and Allison them say is to focus on you, to go look in that mirror in the bathroom, you know? And I guess everybody got a mirror in the bathroom, you know? And look in that mirror, because she said, go in the bathroom and say to yourself, so I'm thinking everybody got a mirror in the bathroom. I mean, that's my secret closet.
I know, you're right.
Because that's where God talks to me. Like, I could be taking a shower. Right. I didn't know that for years. And then I realized, wait a minute, why am I always in the bathroom? So I said, no, we said go into your secret closet. Right. That's when you're there, you're meditating, you're in there alone, you're by yourself. So if y'all find God is talking to y'all while y'all taking a shower or going to the bathroom or whatever, it's real.
It is. I've been actually getting up and getting on my knees on the side of the bed, especially in the morning and before night praying. And I've been crying more often. I noticed like I feel I'm the type when I cry, if somebody see me cry, then I feel like I want to fight them because they see me cry. So yeah, it's a lot of growing up.
You want to fight because they see you cry. Boy,
I feel like a punk when I cry. Mm-mm, make more fight. Sorry.
Girl.
Yep. Get your shoes on. Hot up. I'm sorry, guys. That's all I have to say. I love you, God, Mom.
I love you, baby.
People,
I love everybody.
Was saying something to you, Bridget.
I'm listening.
Bridget, you have to prove everybody wrong. They know your weakness. They know what they're doing is going to make you go crazy. And if that's the case of her trying to take your daughter, I know she's good to your daughter, you know?
Yeah.
But she's also your sister. She's also a person that knows you more than probably you know yourself.
You're right. She needs more time to see it. I start projects, but I'm not consistent. It's easy for me to make it look good real fast. Yeah, she needs the court. Like, I'm just now starting to do what I have to do. You're right. And she means well. It is protection. It is. I just still want to be mad when I'm saying it's not. It is. She don't know what to expect from me. Like, I do good, and then one little moment, she know, like, yeah. She knows. You're right.
And, you know, you think too much. You think too much because you're saying that now you'll get right off of this phone and start thinking and
take you right back
like you ain't never even been on here.
Off and in an hour she'll be on Facebook.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm gonna start going. I've never been on your Facebook page. I'm gonna start going on there. What can I see? Can God mom be proud of what she see on that Facebook page?
Yes, I've been trying to like post the link or
down,
like I've been trying to post the link. You're right. I'm glad you said that because I've been noticing or waiting for somebody to say something like, "Oh, I know I'll be out of line on Facebook." Like, yeah, so I did.
Oh, you're waiting for somebody to say something.
I'm learning. Like, stop. Like, stop putting hard. Don't do that.
Yeah, you gotta grow. You gotta grow up.
I do.
You gotta grow up.
Right.
Don't be what everybody expects you to be. You be better.
She is better. That's why she's going through so much because she is that different one.
And you're right. Because that's what they expect me to do. Get mad and fight and do all that or run off. You're right. Mm-hmm. I definitely have to be different. It's hard, but you're right.
And honestly, it's not about Brittany. It's about your daughter.
It is. And if I can't even deal with a situation of not being that mad, getting her back and then still having situations like that, and that's my whole sister, like, I'm thinking about that now. Like,
and you're blessed to even have a sister to take your daughter.
Yes,
you know how it can be in a foster home. Thank God she's with somebody who is her blood, who loves her, who is going to treat and raise her like her own. Right. You know, because you don't want her in the system.
No, I don't.
Different family.